Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Anyone who remembers the movie Star Trek will probably remember the Vulcan greeting. Anybody remember it? Yeah, that's Mork and Mindy. Yeah. Live long and prosper. Yeah. As far as a greeting goes, hey, you can't find something more universally as an acceptable slogan than that. Who wouldn't want to live longer and prosper, to live long time and to succeed in life? Hey, sounds pretty good to me. Of course, as often is the case, the trick is now in defining the terms. Now, we can debate what constitutes a long life, but today God's word invites us to consider the last word in that famous greeting. How would you begin to define prosperity? What does good life look like? This is a question that consumes Solomon, King Solomon, attention in Ecclesiastes. In this book, we have observations of a man who was given access to almost unlimited wisdom, wealth, pleasure, and power. And he seems to have employed it to the very last bit for him to have a good life. He took for himself 700 wives, 300 concubines. He built houses and cities. He bought horses and chariots. He amassed a staggering amount of money. He imported exotic animals and goods from far-off countries. Solomon was definitely an interesting man. And yet, when we come to the end of his life, the likely time of the writing of Ecclesiastes, we find a man who seems to write with sadness and resignation. Vanities of vanities, all is vanity, a chasing after the wind. To pursue prosperity, we often think we need to pile up our wealth and possessions. We see this tendency show up in our lives in a variety of ways. Every year, Americans spend several billions of dollars playing the lottery in the hopes of hitting the big one. And the results are doubly tragic. Millions of people waste resources that God has given them to manage, and the tiny percentage of those who do win the lottery often find their lives in a mess, just becomes less happy when you receive all that money. Countless individuals and families struggle under crushing debt these days, and it's probably going to get worse. And they've lived far beyond their means, trying to buy their way to happiness. Even those of us who enjoy financial stability often know the frustration of having homes filled to the brim with stuff, so much so that we must rent additional space simply to put in that space the stuff that we're just not using at the moment. In ways big and ways small, we discover by our own experience what Solomon experienced and observed almost 3,000 years ago. Those who love money, guess what? Never be satisfied with money. Solomon writes, "He who loves money," he says, "will not be satisfied with money, nor he who loves wealth with his income." This also is vanity. For a person whose goal it is simply to become rich, when is enough truly enough? With greater possessions comes the need to expend time and energy and money protecting that wealth, that money. But even greater harm can arise from within, from our twisted human hearts, which are constantly looking for something, anything to provide us good apart from God. Today's gospel from Mark flows out of the account, remember, of Jesus' interaction with the rich young man, a man who was given the opportunity to follow the Savior and the King of the world, but walked away sad, unwilling in that moment to part with his wealth. What tragedy. Unfortunately, it's tragedy that many of us seen in ways big and small, as the love of money turns people not only from trusting God, but also from loving others as well. We can read in Ecclesiastes here, 5:17, about the lover of money, eating in darkness, much vexation, sickness, anger, and immediately conjure up images of Scrooges we've interacted with, and then the Scrooge that we have become. How many families have seen their siblings turn on each other when parents pass away and the inheritance comes to view? Let's not forget, definitely, that riches in which we trust can flee from us in a moment. Solomon recounts the sad story of seeing a man lose his wealth through a bad business venture and have nothing with which to care for his son. Maybe you felt the same way in your own stomach. You lost your job or your business failed. You can barely stand the thought of coming home and looking your spouse or your child in the face because you feel so powerless to provide for them. And there are countless examples of people whose wealth has been wiped out, totally wiped out due to medical catastrophe. These stories foreshadow the reality that every single one of us, every one of us, will face one day, that at the moment of our death or the return of Christ, whichever comes first. Our earthly possessions will become worthless, not worth even a penny. Solomon says to all of us, he shall go again, naked as he came, and shall take nothing for his toil that he may carry in his hand. But for the child of God, we need not have this bad news. For God is not only calling us through these words to acknowledge our smallness, but also to know his greatness. He calls us to stop pursuing prosperity by paths of our own design, and instead to trust that he has done everything to guarantee our prosperity today, tomorrow, and of course, forever, in giving us Jesus. That same gospel rings forth today for you and me. Jesus calls you by name. As surely as you were washed in the water to find prosperity in his grace alone, as Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake became poor, so that you by his poverty might become rich. Look to Jesus and see the richest expression of love demonstrated in the extreme poverty of death on a cross, so that we sinners, each one of us, rich in things and poor in soul, might now know the true prosperity belonging to him. Taste the richness. Taste the richness of that love every time you partake in his true body and blood. And, of course, rejoice. Rejoice in that. Rejoice in the treasure of forgiveness and eternal life in him. Rejoice in the daily blessings of food and drink and work. Rejoice in the opportunities God gives you to bless others with the wealth He has entrusted with you and for your management. In Jesus, we discover, indeed, we discover what it really looks like to prosper. Even better, in Christ, we discover a God who is committed to giving us true prosperity for His glory and for our great joy. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.